It's here and now. Truth in the face of sweet talk and the onslaught of smiles. That is what Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has promised he will bring in talks today with President Obama and top U.S. leaders. Netanyahu is referring to the sudden surge of diplomacy between the United States and Iran. Many in Israel worry that Iran's diplomatic overtures are a ruse meant to allow the country to continue developing nuclear weapons. Iran, after all, in the past has made direct threats to Israel. And Netanyahu arrives in Washington today just 3 days after President Obama spoke on the telephone with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, the first direct conversation between any top United States and Iranian leaders since 1979. That, of course, was the year when Iranians charged the U.S. embassy in Tehran and took 52 Americans hostage. So what does Netanyahu's skepticism mean for U.S. diplomatic efforts in the Middle East? Let's explore that question with Aaron David Miller of the Woodrow Wilson Center. He served as an advisor to 6 U.S. secretaries of state. Aaron, welcome back to the program.
Pleasure to be here.
So let's first of all set this context of Benjamin Netanyahu's visit. We've seen a very quick development of relations between the United States and Iran, or at least diplomatic development. So catch us up. Where do we find ourselves today?
Well, there's been a veritable transformation in terms of tone, clearly, and message, as well as process. You have, for the first time, not only direct contact, repeated direct contact at the most senior levels, a phone call with the president, hours spent between the Iranian foreign minister and our Secretary of State, John Kerry. You have a commitment now to begin a search for a comprehensive solution on the nuclear issue. All these things are new. The real question is whether this is in fact a transformation, mm-hmm. or is it a transaction? In other words, are we talking here about something that is truly meaningful, that will lead to a fundamental change in the way Iran and the United States and the international community relate to the nuclear issue? Or are our goals and objectives going to be much more limited and, in the view of the prime minister, perhaps key to an empty room? That is the thing that needs to be tested. That is the thing that needs to be determined. And that, I would argue, is the thing that cannot right now, whatever analysis the Israelis, the Americans, the Europeans bring to the problem, it cannot be prejudged.
Right.
The stakes are so high that it is worth spending the time to determine whether or not there is a way to actually whether the talking cure can be applied. That's the issue.
And in that context, Benjamin Netanyahu perhaps brings the heaviest voice or loudest voice of skepticism that the Iranian supreme leader really has any desire to drop the country's military aspects regarding its nuclear ambitions. But explain to us, I mean, you've said and written that the United States, in any case, is not likely to cut any deal with Iran that would be bad for Israel.
Well, yeah, my view is that you're going to have a deal that is both good for the United States and Israel, or you're not going to have a deal at all. And there are many reasons for that. Primarily because the U.S. and this administration, this president, has a vital national interest in coming to an agreement that essentially turns a putative nuclear program with military aspects into a program that is peaceful and is verified to be peaceful. That seems to me the overriding reason. Forget the political constraints that this Congress, if there's unanimity on any foreign policy issue today, there is unanimity on Iran, there is unanimity and consensus on not giving the Iranians the benefit of the doubt, and unanimity on siding with the Israelis. One other point, and that is the president's own commitment, his own red line, in which he's vowed to stop Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon. The consequences of not adhering to that red line probably means Israeli action. Mm-hmm. And Israeli action in these circumstances will mean domestic complications, to say the least, for the United States, falling financial markets, rising oil prices. So it could actually threaten, as the government shutdown is doing, or the debt limit issue, an already fragile American recovery. So this administration has a major stake in getting this right, and that getting it right does not mean leaving an unhappy, dissatisfied, nervous, and edgy Israel. The question becomes whether or not the concessions that need to be made by either side are doable. And that That I think no one knows now.
Well, let's talk for a moment about the personal relations between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Obama. I mean, they've had a history of some strain between them, including in 2011 when Netanyahu basically had this minor blow-up in the Oval Office lecturing President Obama about Jewish history. So tell us about the personal element of their meeting this week.
You know, I've worked with a lot of Israeli prime ministers in my capacity as an advisor on Arab-Israeli negotiations to half a dozen secretaries of state. I don't think I've ever seen a relationship more dysfunctional for a greater period of time than the one between Barack Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu. That was in 2009 and 2010. Much of the tension in that relationship has faded away, in large part because the president concluded earlier this year, I suspect, that his shaky relationship with the prime minister was hurting him politically. It allowed the Republicans to hammer him, and it raised many concerns among members of the Democratic Party, his own, whether or not he was sufficiently pro-Israel. So I think that drove the president to make a visit to Israel, to say things, to do things, that has fundamentally, I think, put to rest the notion in the eyes of many Israelis and certainly the pro-Israeli community here, at least the mainstream community, that this president is somehow hostile to the state of Israel. Mm-hmm. If this president wants to get anything done in this region in the next 3 years, and remember, his UN General Assembly speech identified two issues that he wants to devote time to. One is the Iranian issue, the nuclear issue, and the second is the Israeli-Palestinian issue. If he wants to get anything done on those two issues, he's going to have to find a way to work, and not at a distance, but relatively closely with the Prime Minister of Israel. So that's another reason why this relationship has improved.
In the last 30 seconds or so that we have here, I read a quote from an Israeli official who said, Netanyahu does not care if he's the only one ruining the party being these remarkable diplomatic overtures from Iran to the United States. In the last couple seconds we have, is there a risk of an opportunity lost here, given the change from, you know, the last time the president talked with an Iranian leader was 1979?
Well, there is, if in fact the Israelis and the Americans ask the deal that really is compelling. Can the mullahs make the United States an offer that the U.S. and Israel cannot refuse? And can the U.S. meet Iranian needs and requirements? No one knows the answer, but we're going to find out.
Aaron David Miller of the Woodrow Wilson Center, thank you so much. We'll be back in a moment, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.